Hey, y'all. You're listening to another episode of Big Facts No Cap with Paul and Adrian, the only podcast that's number one with Teamsters and Memesters. Let's get into this episode.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
I know we're usually above this type of petty drama discussion. Can we discuss the Joshua Wiseman article on Pod?
Yeah. I don't know if anyone besides you or me cares, but sure.
Okay, well, he's a food tuber. And even if you don't care about this world of food YouTubing, can we just read some of the choice stuff from this article? I do like that as a culture, we've moved past saying somebody's canceled. Nobody is saying he's canceled. Everybody is just like, this is a bitchy article about what a fucking weird asshole this guy is. Let's all make fun of him for being a weird, obnoxious asshole.
I sent you Netshack's opinion on it, but did you like his co-host's opinion of like, is anybody surprised?
Which Netshack was kind of coming at that opinion. He was saying, like, I don't think that's a good thing to say.
Yeah. Also, I want to say off top, we realize we're very late to this, especially with the 2-week turnaround. We're very, very late to this, but...
Do we want to say that off the top? Okay, thank you for the trigger warning.
Just letting people know. It was very sad hearing the person who was named by Shaq's co-host. I was like, oh, wait, I know that guy. He looks so nice in the videos. He's getting told he's getting fucked in the ass by Josh? That's horrible.
Apparently, every single day he would come in, he would say, hey, you're looking sexy, or hey, you're looking cute today to that guy. I don't know, like, what media did this guy watch where he's like, that's how a cool guy behaves? Yeah. Like a 14-year-old who, not even like a frat bro, like a 14-year-old trying to act like a frat bro. Mm. What is this behavior?
Yeah.
And that apparently he was obsessed with other people plagiarizing him, but was like a very weird... weak person about it. One of the things in the article was do you know the YouTuber
Mr. Beast?
Do you know Mr. Beast? Do you know who Mr. Beast is? Do you know the YouTuber Nick Giovanni? Giovanni. Apparently
he did well on MasterChef.
Apparently Josh was obsessed with this guy, would complain about him constantly to his staff, say he's stealing my ideas, he's stealing my videos. Met him once and immediately was like, I love you, dude. We should collab. His employees were like, it was so weird.
Oh man.
The guy came and collabed the whole time. Oh, this was another weird part. The day that guy was in the studio, one of his employees the night before, they'd all gone out, and at a bar, the employee had been hitting on a woman, or the woman and him were chatting it up, and Josh decided the joke was that that was clearly a trans person. You were hitting on a dude. I do a great Josh. The whole time Nick was there, he was doing that bit at his employee mocking him for talking to a trans woman.
Damn.
That employee told him, like, hey, I think that's pretty transphobic. Like, why are you making a big deal about that? I can't talk to a trans woman. Josh replied with, Wiseman yelled at them for describing the behavior as transphobic. Wiseman defended himself by claiming he knew more about social issues than any of the employees.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, now we're getting derailed in two other ways. But one, did you see Trump's doctor say that Trump is the healthiest American president in recent history when people were asking about his health recently?
Does he get access to Obama's health records to make that statement?
Oh, no, he can tell just by looking. Oh. Who knows? Well, that's what I liked, is that people in the comments were like, George Bush used to run 5 miles a day. And I was like, why do we need to even pretend like this is an argument we need to have? This is so stupid.
Yeah, and at the end of the collab, after making fun of his employee for hitting on a trans woman the whole time in front of this guy.
Not just some guy, Nick DiGiovanni. He did great on MasterChef.
Wiseman went to post the video, said, I can't find your at, or I guess maybe like to post a like teaser for the video. He said, I can't find your at. And DiGiovanni went on his YouTube and like looked him up and was like, because you blocked me.
Damn. He does love blocking people, which we've discussed privately is the worst thing you can do to a person online. God damn. What a dick.
He apparently got so angry once he started punching a bowl of ice, and you can see it in the video.
There's corroborated evidence of the bloody knuckles.
Of him pouring something into the bowl on bloody knuckles, it cuts. His knuckles are bloody. The thing I sent you was that all the employees got together to sign a big open letter to him saying that he was abusive. And they didn't even add in any of the sexual harassment stuff about how he was constantly shouting about wanting to fuck people in the asshole and how cute and fuckable his male employees were. Because they were like that he would just shut down if we included that. So it was all about like him yelling in general and pay. And here's that part of the article. Weissman cut the signatories out of the collaborative staff brainstorming process that typically bore video concepts, and he shifted to leaning on Lawrence, who was a primarily remote producer who was flown in for filming of large-scale videos. The shift towards leaning on Lawrence took staff by surprise. Josh would talk about how shitty of a guy he was to us, how overpaid he was, how he doesn't do his job, etc. But Josh would then turn around and call him to implement and oversee every process that wasn't working. Weissman often complained to his staff about how much Lawrence was paid, and he often used both expenses Lauren incurred as a producer and his salary as excuse for not having money in the budget for various employee requests.
Mm.
Just being that much of a dumb guy where he's like, okay, they don't like me. They all signed a letter about how I'm kind of like this abusive bad boss who needs to stop yelling and throwing things all the time. I know what I'll do. I'll create a new enemy by giving this guy all the rewards and then trying to hang out at the water cooler and be like, what a piece of shit. That guy gets paid too much. It's like, dude, you're paying him. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
The whole article just made him seem like such a weird, small, petty tyrant.
It's fascinating. It is someone who I had followed for a while. Who do you think's getting got next?
You see, here's the thing with this, is it really is post-canceling. Like, nothing in this was like, oh, he's going to lose his career. He's not going to lose views or anything. This was straight up just like, look at what a weird fucking freak this guy is.
You know, I will say, Kenji seems like the kind of person who has a wholesome enough, like, aesthetic to his channel that if someone found out that his, like, the divorce was due to infidelity, that would be, like, a thing that people try to cancel him for. And I would be like, you shouldn't lose your career for cheating on somebody. This is ridiculous. I don't like how we've asserted that there's a standard of quality that he's decided to put out or whatever about him as a person.
We've talked about that before. I always thought that was so weird. That was such a weird moment in our culture where cheating, if you were too friendly an entertainer, was considered a cancelable offense.
Yeah.
It's like, you if made me out, think Ms. you
Rachel's
were a nice
got
guy.
A side piece. I invited you into my home every night. All right, do you have a media roundup or anything?
I don't know if I have a media roundup. I'll think about it if you have one.
Well, we talked about this on the phone, so I got most of it out of my system because I talked about it with Dora Lee and Phil too. I watched The Conjuring 2. They're playing them all in theaters. My main takeaway from watching that movie is, man, they are sucking the Warrens' collective dicks so hard. Were these people even cool at
all?
Wait,
you gotta
sure
tell us who the Warrens
paranormal.
Were, because I wouldn't know if you had
the Warrens were the real-life
it.
Paranormal investigators who were famous for the Amityville Horror, as well as the British horror that the second movie is based on. The whole Conjuring series is about them and their relationship. Very fictionalized. They're already terrible people because they're paranormal investigators, but I was like, were they just good at their job or what? So I started listening to the last podcast on the Left series about it. I'm on the second episode right now. And certified lover boy, absolute charlatans, absolute opportunists. The movie The Conjuring 2 portrays them as like helping out a single mother and like doing things around the house and like being father figures for her kids. And they spent 4 hours there where they showed up unannounced, did a seance and got kicked out. The movie portrays it as them being like, oh, we're too traumatized from all of our very real ghost hunts to do another one. We gotta stop, baby. And then they're like, we gotta bring in the Warrens for this one. We need them for this case. And they're like, no, don't make us do it. So, yeah, very predictably, I left that movie with a bad taste in my mouth and then have only gotten a worse taste in my mouth about that movie and that series. Fuck those people.
Your issue is with Hollywood making like the... glorifying the real people that a movie is based on. Man, I don't even want to tell you what I don't even
do you know where you're going or are you,
no,
are
I'm
you
trying to come up with
okay.
I think I was gonna go with Ted from the Seth MacFarlane
you're,
movie
you're not gonna like that
I don't think you'll know I don't think you'll
you're
care
not gonna
to
like that new Blood and Honey movie that tells you the real story of Winnie the Pooh. I liked how I could tell that you were driving down a road where you didn't know where you were going to get to.
talking about vamping, if I want to do my media roundup, I saw Jacques the Whipper, who I guess is TikTok famous.
Yeah, yeah. I watched the clip you sent me. He didn't do any whipping.
At the Maryland Renaissance Festival. And so I guess this guy's famous for being, like, handsome and doing pop songs with his whips. Man, what a bad show. Do not go if you can avoid it.
I'm going to make the same joke I made over the phone. I assume he closes and opens with Devo's Whip It.
He does not. People, I'm sure, have suggested that. The whole thing is the audience shouts out stuff. What got me about it is you think you're going to watch somebody whip something.
Yeah, how many Kevin Gates songs did you shout out when he asked for recommendations?
And he knew all of them.
Luca Brasi.
Do I hop? It really felt to me like it was a man who'd never used a whip before, was pushed out on stage, dressed as Jacques the Whipper, was like, I gotta fill time. He whipped a handful of times throughout the show. It didn't feel like very special whipping. It was crazy.
You don't respect his art. You're gonna get carpal tunnel.
You know what? He's as talented as most modern comedians who do crowd work clips.
Oh, yeah, he's out there like, folks!
Well, no, that's not crowd work. Most of his show is basically just a crowd work comedy show. That's basically what it is, with the idea that whipping ties it to the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah, the clip you sent me was really just about how rated R the thing was going to get, which was weird. He did. It kind of had Josh Weissman energy.
He did the same bit at our show. The exact same, like almost word for word, the thing about Get Low by Lil Jon being an inappropriate song and for what reasons it was inappropriate.
All right, cool. Do you want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it.
I really wish I had spent more time researching this theme or at least refamiliarizing myself with these, but I think I can unlock some memories. What was the terminology you used?
Oh, yeah, you said old memes, and I went, oh, you mean like image macros?
I said old school memes, yeah.
And you went, no, I mean like Scumbag Steve or the cat.
Well, I think I said I'm not sure what that means. I meant like this. And then I gave my examples. I didn't say, no, you're wrong.
You said, you dumbass. I fucking hate you, Paul. Yeah, kill yourself.
I definitely wasn't condescending about it.
But yeah, basically you did mean image macros.
Yeah.
The term image macro originated on Something Awful forums. The name derived from the fact that the macros were a short bit of text a user could enter that the forum software would automatically parse and expand into the code for a predefined image.
That's true.
This, in turn, related to the computer science concept of macro instruction.
Wow, it all started with Something Awful.
Beginning in 2007, lolcats and similar image macros spread beyond the initial communities who created them and became wildly popular.
Now, Paul, can we ask the most important question off top?
Let's do it.
Can I has cheeseburger?
You know, did you ever care for that one? I remember it being a thing, but I didn't.
No, I don't know if that one really got me that much.
I mean, that was the era when I started to get on the internet, was probably like 2006 to 7 to 8-ish, dig.com, though.
Mm.
Oh, advice animals. Okay, I'm trying to scroll through and look up some of these. Advice animals were the big ones
penguin.
For a while. After the lolcats, we got the, awkward penguin. There was like the wolf that was crazy.
Oh, I don't remember that one. Oh, Pedo Bear. Phil was telling me, like, oh, yeah, Coleman used to send me this dog that was a pedophile. And I was like, I think there was a bear that they did that with. And he was like, oh, yeah, Pedo Bear.
Dig had a thing with ASCII art. So a lot of these memes would be ASCII artified. And the Pedo Bear would be, the ASCII art of the Pedo Bear would be posted as the top comment on Dig a lot in, like, 2007.
What is ASCII art?
Like when you use like ASCII characters, which is just like what's on your keyboard plus like all the like slightly weirder ones.
A colon to make a smiley face?
Except imagine like across a whole page.
Oh, those things?
Yeah.
Man, you're teaching me so many words about internet stuff that I don't know.
Hey, we all learn something new every day.
What's a browser?
We're going to make this like a community college class for elderly people learning a computer. Now, this is your desktop. What you have is applications. One of the applications is your browser.
In English, scientist.
Your browser is like a window to the World Wide Web.
Hello, world. How did you feel about Scumbag Steve?
I loved Scumbag Steve.
Or Crazy Girlfriend.
Like, I thought it was funny. I'm sure I laughed at that stuff, but...
You related. We all got a crazy ex.
Me in 10th grade, whatever that was becoming a thing, I was like, oh yeah, all my exes be like that. But in 10th grade, Scumbag Steve jokes about him not cornering the ball correctly. I was like, that is so funny and relatable. That's true. Important to me in my life.
And then Awkward Penguin was more of a story. No, he couldn't really tell a story. Maybe he could in a couple sentences.
Awkward Penguin was like, girl talks to you, you drop your spaghetti.
Yeah, that's kind of what, yeah. And then there was the baby with the fist or whatever, the success baby.
Oh, yeah.
That'll probably make it into the third segment.
Let's do a real Velociraptor, because I remember liking him too.
Yeah,
because Velociraptor was like puns mainly. It was like,
yeah,
if a priest blesses an avocado, would that be holy guacamole? Man, this shit made me dumber.
Pro is the opposite of Kong. What's the opposite of progress? I don't think that's the kind of joke he would make, but that is kind of almost there. I think Velociraptor's better than that. He's got tighter material.
Oh, I forgot this one. There was the cool penguin, which was Awkward Penguin, but with the colors flipped, and he was walking the
other direction. Oh, I don't think I did any of that. Yeah. I never went into opposite day on online.
Well, there was a duality. There was also like the nice dog.
You know what
Velociraptor
would have said? Velociraptor would have been like, why do we bake cookies but cook bacon?
Velociraptor would have said that.
He would have said some shit like that. Wait, what are the evil dogs? Wait, there's a pedo dog and a consensual
adult
relationship?
Wait, there's
like a
good dog, and then there's the wolf who is crazy.
Oh.
I need to find these guys' names because I'm scrolling through the images and seeing them.
Are you not on like a Wikipedia page or something?
No, I just image searched advice animals.
Isn't there one of like a small insanity black child wolf. Who's like, oh, insanity wolf. I don't know that one at all.
Okay, let me find an example of insanity wolf.
Wait, it's what was insane in like 2005? What is it? Like a woman is president. There's a black guy in the Oval Office. Okay, insane wolf. You keep that to yourself.
Favorite cocktail? Question mark? Molotov. That's an example of insanity wolf.
You know what? There's actually writing involved in that. I like that.
The best way to a girl's heart?
Oh, through her chest.
Yeah, okay. Celebrate St. Patrick's Day? No green drinks or clothes. That's a punchline to that one.
Slow down there, buddy. What were the other ones? Oh, Bad Luck Brian. Remember that guy?
Do you remember the pho comics?
No. Is that where a lot of the Rage comic things come from?
Maybe that's what they were called, Rage comics. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about where those are still in use, right? But certain groups.
Really? Who's still using Rage comics? I think maybe you're thinking of the
Soyjack things?
Soyjacks,
are you saying those are,
yeah.
Those are kind of separate? Those are separate. They kind of have similar, yeah.
They have very similar energy. It's basically the same idea, which is like a collection of faces that sit in for emotions.
Yeah, that troll face, man. You know what? A really good marker of how long I've been in grad school. I don't think I see them anymore. It might also be a sampling issue, but I feel like my first year of grad school, you could walk around a university hall and labs would have old school memes like this on their door of like stupid shit or whatever.
Yeah, that troll face really did become almost...
Yeah, or why you know, yeah.
It became almost as identifiable as something like the like nuclear symbol as far as like...
Yeah,
just like
scientists have proven that you have a brain cell, a neuron dedicated to the troll guy's face.
Only one neuron. That's not bad, honestly.
Yeah, you got a lot. Yeah. Oh shit! But yeah, and then the why you know guy, that might have been the one that was on my advisor's door.
My god!
The room next door actually still has one, but it is a legitimately funny one. But it is that impact font, like you know, 2-line text format. But they study ants, and so it's the Zoolander photo of him being like, what is this, a lab for ants?
It's weird how much things have changed but stayed the same, because it's like you think about these and you're like, oh, that was cringy, but it's like the Soyjacks are not any different. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, but they're still cringe now, too. I don't know.
That's fair.
I don't know anyone who uses them. Yeah. Whereas we
now
participated
right
in these things, I don't know if I really made too
many
of these
things. I didn't make them. I was just on Dig and then Reddit
looking
at them.
Yeah, I did use a impact font meme maker for an actual conference presentation once because I just needed a good way to like get some GIFs going with some labeling on them.
Okay, other early memes.
Well, I mean, do we have any besides just rounding them up? Do you have anything substantial to say about any of them that impacted your life in a meaningful way?
No, I don't think any of them impacted my life.
You weren't like, damn, man, I guess I'm really the bad luck, Brian.
How did you feel about Boxy Baby?
Boxy Baby? What was that?
She was popular on 4chan when we were like in middle school.
Okay, I don't think I know about this one.
She's talked in a high-pitched, squeaky voice and had like cat eye eyeliner on.
This is Pete on Holmes YouTube. Is the E-Trade baby. What is this? Oh, speaking of which, if we're talking about this thing bleeding into our everyday lives, not a call out, you know, I think this is them having a spare room and putting it in there. But in Pierce and Nicole's spare bedroom, they put up what I assume was a gift, which is a cat calendar of the month that has a cat meme on it for every month. So the one right now is me thinking I have a friendly face while I'm at work, and it's a cat with like a scowl on its face.
You know, if you asked me outside of the context of this episode where cats are trending in popularity in our culture, I would say all-time high.
Really?
But now that we're
basically Egyptians.
Now that we're recording this episode, no, they were way more popular in the mid-2000s than they are now.
There was one that had a Pop-Tart for a body and rainbow shot out of it while it flew through the sky.
I know. When I think about 2008 to 2012, that actually might have been peak cat popularity. They might be trending down since then.
It's imperative. This nation's all about that pussy.
You're right. I did say Obama's term, and I didn't do it on purpose, but I see how you got there.
Keep the twins on me, like a Siamese cat.
Can you just resist doing your extremely offensive AAVE accent every time you get a chance?
Oh, is that how you read that accent? As a particular person, or you just think of that as, wow, that person needs to pull their pants up. Now, let me do my classy accent. I'm the best cat person to ever exist. I do such a bad Trump.
What are you talking about? One of the best Trumps?
One of the best Trumps. Everybody's saying it.
I think you just have to be an old white man to do a good Trump. You have to kind of have it in you already.
Yeah, that's true. And then, let's see. Yeah, I'm trying to think more of like the guy who gave a whole TED talk about how he became a meme because he was a stock image dude. What was that guy?
Oh, was that the old man who was like sitting there looking happy?
Yeah, the old guy where he just took a bunch of stock photos that people made in the memes. Oh, or the, is this still in the same class as the distracted boyfriend? Or is that like in a second iteration, second wave?
Oh, you know, that one stuck around. He's still,
either it's stuck around or it's not as old as I think it is. Distracted boyfriend. But yeah.
Yeah. I do not know when that started, but it really does feel very similar. Maybe just because it has that same name structure.
Yeah.
What about the more abstract ones that because they're abstract, people can only pretend are funny for like half a year, like Dat Boy?
Yeah. Or I know that for a while, Gen Z was into deep frying memes and nonsensical memes, but I think that's passed.
Oh, man, we didn't even talk about the coolest classical meme of all time, Rick Rollins somebody.
Oh, yeah, because YouTube ruined it by having the link, or Google ruined it by having the link show up as the video now when you send it.
Oh, is that? Oh, but,
yeah,
I guess
you can't
send
just a link anymore. Yeah.
But on other sites, you can.
Oh, you're really diversifying the ways in which you're Rickrolling.
Wait, you thought the majority of Rickrolls were through text and not like comments on forums?
In my life, you were out there getting Rickrolled in comments.
Yeah, of course. Come on, now. That's how you prove to your enemy that you're above them, that you're playing 5D chess.
Until you met someone who had it memorized.
Yeah. Oh, that was
like,
a thing.
Oh, I know
yeah.
this link. Should we risk the copyright infringement and put that at the end of this episode?
No.
You know the rules, and so do I. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know if I have any other memes that really... I've made memes out of images that I've taken before that kind of stuck. There was one where I was in a Zoom meeting with a colleague, and I got a screenshot of him when it looked like he was sucking a penis that was invisible. So I sent that to him, and we used to use that every now and then.
I feel like iPhone stickers have replaced the idea of having to make your own meme.
iPhone stickers?
Because you used to, like, in high school, remember, like, you'd take a picture of one of your friends, you'd go get the iPad app that let you turn it into an image macro, and you'd write something stupid on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I feel like you just, if somebody looks funny in a photo, you don't turn it into an image macro, you turn it into a sticker and start posting it on shit.
Oh, that's true. These kids will have no idea about what we had to do.
They don't even know the idea of having to download a separate app to create these stupid little images.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, yes, they do. They're all downloading apps to Ghiblify themselves or whatever they do.
To Labubu themselves.
Hey, Mr. ChatGPT, what would I look like as a Labubu? Thank you. Also, you're my daddy because I talk to you more than...
And you're my therapist.
You're my daddy and my therapist, and probably my god in the future. Thank you, Mr. ChatGPT.
Having anyone's a day one, you laboo-boo.
What is that from? That's funny.
That's Kendrick Lamar, I think, right?
Oh, but I thought somebody had already done a...
Oh, I don't know. Just said that. Sometimes things come to my mind, and I say them on the spot.
Okay, sometimes things come to my mind, and I say them on the pod. Who said that? That's good.
Hey, I think that's Pete Holmes. Yeah, I don't know if I have any other deep thoughts. Do you want to get into a column? You didn't send me your column. What'd you got?
I'm bringing in a Dear Annie from 2021. Dear Annie, I have an adult son who is married and lives on the East Coast. I follow them on social media to keep up with their lives, as we are in the Midwest. My daughter-in-law often posts disrespectful posts towards my son, memes with rolling eyes, jokes about animals that look like him to her, etc. She is very different from us in terms of her political views and other things. It infuriates and saddens me when she posts these disrespectful posts about my son that I think she believes are funny. I have never addressed it with either of them, but I do want to say something about the disrespect to my son. How should I approach this? I never see any balanced appreciation or complimentary posts from her to him either. Signed, Worried Mom.
Damn. You know, I've touted myself as a little bit of a relationship specialist when it comes to my family. I've called certain divorces and breakups from happening pretty close to when they were going to happen, or actually pretty far ahead in some cases. I'm glad that this mom kind of realizes that this is a telltale sign. They're breaking up.
Because the wife is too corny. I see what
No, because she's mean. She doesn't even balance out one compliment post with one mean post, which seems to be what she wants. That seems to be what her criteria is.
She was like, my husband looks like a bat. What a dumbass. And then the next one was, I appreciate him because despite being a bat.
He's working all night like a bat. It still has to reference the other one. So it's 1-to-1. You make sure you keep up with them. Ooh, I don't know. This makes me want to go into my tangent about how like, the people in DSA, when they met Phil and Drake, were like, Adrian's just so nice and never talks shit about people. And they were like, he's the meanest person we know. It's like, this is the evidence that
I'm glad Phil and Drake didn't, like, sugarcoat it because you were around. They told her how it is.
they were, I think, like, for some people, this is how you know that they're in love with the person and that they love them very dearly, is that they're willing to just talk shit about them the whole time with these little jokes.
Yeah, you read something like this and you're like, oh, she's from a different era. But then you think about it some more and you're like, no, it's not that she's from a different era, because there's the old people with a sense of humor, too. Yeah. Some people are just kind of nasty.
Ever heard of George Carlin?
But yeah, there's cool old people. So you really, like, it's easy to, in your brain, blame it on, like, oh, old people fucking suck. What can you do? Mm-hmm. I feel like there's definitely old people who get playful humor. Like, what goes on in somebody's mind that they don't get being playfully disrespectful? No, this is real disrespect, and she hates my son.
Well, going back to the generational thing, there is it is somewhat new to be able to have an online presence where your main image to the outside world, your outward facing role as a wife, isn't just to be, you know, a supporter of your husband, a cheerleader for your husband, who, it's a very new phenomenon to have something like this where they don't realize how casual it is or could be.
That's true. I guess to them, they're like, they're publishing it on the internet.
Mm-hmm. They're dirty laundry. They're in and out for everybody to see.
They're publishing this content when to he their posts 200 his, followers. That's posts, like an infinite number of people.
When he reposts his Andrew Tate videos and she does an eye roll emoji, she's undermining his authority. This is exactly what he's talking about in these videos that I'm watching.
Oh, you think the mob has gotten Andrew Tate a
Yeah, her son keeps posting it. Must be cool.
I feel like I heard about Andrew Tate 4 years ago, and in internet time, that must mean he's basically like nothing at this point, right? There has to be somebody 5 times as insane as him that's 10 Ooh. Times more popular.
If he is, I don't know where he is yet.
Disrespectful memes towards my son with rolling eyes. I can't give this person advice because they're in such a different mind space than me that I don't even know where to begin.
Touch grass? Is this the oldest person we've told to touch grass?
Rolling eyes, Adrian. The sign of disrespect of your Mary-Kate and Ashley character.
Yeah, that's true. I was about to say, like, that's something that, like, I heard my friend's parents, white parents, get on them about. Like, Yeah.
You won't believe it. She's wearing her hat in photos that are indoors. The photos are of her outdoors, but I'm looking at them on my computer indoors. Can you believe she has her hat on?
And I'm playing the Pledge of Allegiance right now, which is the only song I listen to.
My favorite song of an old school gal.
I think that before you ask anything about your son to contextualize it or how he feels about it, you should definitely attack the wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Post what animal you think she looks like.
If she started defending the husband in the comments, that would also be very funny. I don't think he looks like a guinea pig at all. In fact, I think maybe he looks like a handsome dragon if I had to compare him to any animal.
A bad dragon. Check out my coupon code. that'd be pretty fun. If she starts airing out way worse dirty laundry, she's like, how dare you treat your husband like this? He helped you all throughout rehab. He supported you all throughout this time, and yet now you're saying he looks like a goat because of his goatee.
Should we read the professional advice?
Yeah, let's see what Amy has to say. Or is it Annie? Let's see what Annie
I guess
has
the actual
say.
Advice that Annie should give is don't worry about it. They're just different cultural signifiers than you. They don't care as much about showing respect
and
to
then
your husband.
Also, get off Facebook because it's probably scrambling your fucking brain.
Honestly, maybe her obsessing over her son and his wife is better than what else she would be doing on Facebook. What looks like disrespect to you may be affectionate playfulness to her and your son. Internet humor is often irreverent without malice. Consider whether her having different political views might predispose you to take these posts as offensive, and try to let it go. If your son hasn't expressed that he's bothered by it, then there's no reason to let it bother you.
All right. Got a real Sabrina Carpenter there.
Oh, what line?
Short and sweet.
I was like, what did I miss about espresso?
I guess we didn't really talk too much about the political views or whatever, but maybe that's true, that that's just souring your taste on this person, of your nice conservative son.
All right, I'm going to re-up on my drink, and I'll be back.
All right. All right, Paul, are you ready for my column?
I am, actually.
This is our first one from the art blog, from Beth Heinle. Yeah, memes are art, but then, what is art? From January 27th. 2019. Cathal T. Hogan asks via Twitter, I'm doing my thesis on memes and their relationship with art. After reading your blog post on Art Blog, Making Art the Age of Memes, maybe Making Art in the Age of Memes? Hold on, let me click the link. Yes, I was able to guess how they incorrectly wrote that. Making Art in the Age of Memes. I believe a question still remains. Can we consider some memes as art due to their process of creation and their intent of their creation? And the intent of their creation. I wish this was an episode that we were doing with CJ the X, because this is the type of thing that he'd give a two-hour lecture on that I would barely understand.
This is actually very intimidating. I think I'm going to say a lot of things that are wrong. That's going to be my opener to this conversation.
This is like that really risque lesson in high school where we talked about whether or not porn is art.
This is like if you asked me right now to just sit down and explain like electrodynamics from beginning to end, and I had to do it because the concept of this episode of this show is that we will engage with questions. I feel like I'm just not like the person who thought about this enough. But let's get into it.
I think about this every damn day.
Let's get into it, bro. Come on. How can we even call ourselves two men if we can't be overly confident about something we know completely zero about?
And we aren't even doing the prerequisite reading for beforehand to get into it.
Let's get into it, bro.
Still remains. Can we consider some memes as art due to their process of creation and intent of their creation?
How do you define art?
Well, what you have to understand is there's an art subject and an art object.
Oh, no. Subject and object, that sounds like German philosophy, and I am not good at that.
No. I'm definitely not just quoting some stuff I've heard from CJ the X about how, you know, art is the, you know, Paul, you should make art. You're a U-shaped hole that God's trying to produce art into the world into. Why would you not make art? Art objects and art subjects and the interplay between those and the emotions and interactions and the things that come out of that are what is art. And it has to do sometimes with intent and also with product and also with originality and creativity, but also art could just be this moment right now that we're living in together that's beautiful.
Subject and object, I don't know why, kills me. I don't want to hear about that.
All right, well then what's your definition? Because I gave my very succinct one.
And it was very intelligent.
Yeah, thank you.
I found it moving.
I didn't panic at all. That's art. The speech that I just gave was art.
I mean, this is one of those things where, like, no matter how you define it, right, the person goes, well, there's an edge case. And usually the edge cases are like, is poop art? Because that's something a human creates. Well, is it art if they expect somebody to appreciate it?
Intent.
Is nature art? Because it can, like, elicit these big emotional feelings. Well, somebody would say no, but it's like, what if you told somebody to stand in a really specific place and look out at a vista? Is it art then? Because then there was a human curating the experience.
What if an elephant learns how to do art with his nose?
That's definitely art. That's
definitely art?
Yeah, okay, I can answer that.
So you said there
one.
Was a human component to it, but also there doesn't have to be a human component to it?
Okay, I'm sorry, but an elephant can make art, for sure.
If a chimpanzee presses the button on a photograph, that's art?
Yeah.
That belongs to the chimpanzee?
No, I didn't say anything about copyright law. That photographer was screwed over.
Okay. All right. That's a different story.
That was a collaborative art project.
Oh, okay.
But
with a collaborative art subject.
Where
art
the copyright goes to the human completely because he's a human.
Okay. And now how do you feel about memes? Do you like that subreddit Accidental Renaissance?
Memes are definitely art, I think. I think that one there's no question about, right?
All? Just all of them? Also, you can answer my question about Accidental Renaissance.
Yeah, and I do like that subreddit. I actually don't. I never go on it. But I like the concept. It's a cute concept. And I think the first time... I think it was a subreddit before this became a thing, but I remember somebody doing basically that with Young Thug at some fancy museum. It actually got a showcase. It was just Young Thug.
They were next
Thug.
To the exhibit of like people who take stills from The Simpsons that look really lo-fi and cool and like emotional.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay, no, I don't think it was an internet museum. But
and is there one of him getting head on a plane and calling her Airhead? Is that one of the paintings? I'm just asking questions. I'm allowed to do that. So you're saying that all memes are art just by the fact that they're created. Also, we did this entire thing without talking about the fact that it's fucking Richard Dawkins who made the word meme.
That is very funny.
Oh, but yeah. So what's your favorite art meme then?
You don't think memes are art? Actual opinion.
Do I think that the red-blue split penguin with words on it is art? I guess a macaroni picture that a kindergartner makes is art. So yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not in the business of gatekeeping what art is, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's the important point here is like it's all art, but I guess the idea is that like maybe...
If everything's art, nothing's art.
Connotation versus denotation, like how much import are we adding to something because we've defined it as art? Maybe the word art is a little grandiose.
Yeah, or I guess if you're going to be one of those cynical assholes that like, oh, it's art, then how much are you willing to pay for it? Zero. It's free. I can get it online for free. It can still be art.
Yeah. I don't know about these types of assholes. Are there people who think art is defined by how much you pay?
Yeah. Would you put it in a museum? Would you have like, would you put a paywall into like being able to see this artwork? Would you? Yeah.
Well, that seems like a very dumb guy definition. I feel like that's almost like immediately falsifiable with counterexamples.
Well, then, what's your definition, smart guy? You didn't want to give it earlier.
The statue is a Statue of Liberty art. Nobody's going to sell it, and you can't put it in a museum.
Trump would sell it. Trump's been trying to sell it.
He was like, what is this French bullshit? I think we should
have... A big, strong guy.
I think we should have a gun. A big statue of a gun pointed in the sky, shooting God.
That's our liberty. Statue of Liberty, frankly, not my cup of tea. Ugly whore. She's a dog.
Is it just me? All that oxidization. She put on a little bit of weight.
Lady, Statue of Liberty. Girl, aren't your arms tired?
What convenience is that? That's a good line. Aren't your arms
that's
tired?
That's a Phil Carter joke.
That's a Phil Carter joke.
That's
shout
a
out
Phil
Carter,
Carter original. Yeah.
Filibuster, Busta Cups, Philly Boy, Phil the Great, Philanthropy.
Fill in the blank, Phil God Cooks. Do you have anything else to say about this before we read the answer, or what do you want to say?
Our
there's no there's no line between a bored ape. I guess that's not a meme. What is
Well, this person says, can we consider some memes art due to their process of creation and the intent of their creation? So I guess we'd have to read the article, but that makes it sound like making art in the age of memes is implying that memes aren't art. Because they're asking, well, could some of them be?
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a separation. Well, I don't know. How do you feel about memes that are literally just like Twitter screenshots?
That screenshot of Drill being like, my family is starving, help me with my finances. That's not
art.
Bad.
All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
You know which one I'm talking about. We'll link it in the comments.
Okay, I don't know.
Oh, you don't know that. One second. I'll send that to you.
All right. Paul's got to put me on game real quick. Have you ever had anyone get on you about, like, you doing something and being like, oh, I'm not that good at it. It's not really art or anything. Or it's not like, you know, like, I wouldn't call it, like, music or whatever. I wouldn't call it artwork in the way that other people would.
No, I'm pretty grandiose. If somebody's like, you're good at something, I'm like, hell yeah, I'm good at it, bitch. Come on now.
Oh, I didn't have someone compliment me. I just told them that I made music. And I was like, I wouldn't really call it music. And they were like, no, don't do that. If you're doing stuff and you're putting effort into it, that's music. You should be proud of it. It was a drunk woman outside of a bar, but yeah. She was like, I hate when people do that. You're making art.
No, I don't think I've ever had that. Although, I guess you do have that. You downplay everything you do. You don't tell your friends about this podcast. This podcast? Art.
Didn't we talk about that on Pod once? About whether or not we consider this art? I think you asked in a joking way, and I was like, yeah, sure, why not?
I think it is, but it's kind of the way we just talked about macaroni paintings. The problem is no podcast is planned or executed.
Theo Von ain't making art.
It's not planned or executed in like a strategic enough way to be good art. It's entertainment.
Slop for the little piggies right into their ears.
No, because there's value to entertainment that's not art. Art is supposed to, like, I think good or great art makes you feel something unique or profound, right?
But we're not defining good or great art. We're defining art.
Entertainment just makes you laugh or makes you enjoy yourself. And I think that's what this podcast is here to do. It's not here to be great art. It's here to entertain.
Is there a podcast you would consider great art?
No.
The Daily?
Well, okay, come on now. Well, I can't say anything bad about Michael Barbaro.
All right. Do you want to hear the answer?
Yeah, let's hear the professional's answer.
All right. Here's what Beth has to say. Wow. This is exciting for me. We are now getting questions from the archive of this advice column. Moment of silence. I would like to preface this entire article with a full disclosure message, because this question you are asking is a philosophical one, and as much as I like to talk philosophy, I honestly do not read philosophy, beyond maybe 5 to 10 pages, and I don't want to, for some reason in parentheses, read philosophy. Thankfully, today we have Wikipedia. For me, philosophy is like politics. It's really just a basic understanding of being human and alive in the present moment. You might say, then, that the only people really interested in reading philosophy and politics are those who don't understand what it means to be a human being. Sociopaths. Hey, what can I say? That's been my experience. I did go through a time in my early 20s when I actually read full, entire books on philosophy, only to come out the other end like, well, yeah. And also, like, how smart can all these white men possibly be when they are completely complicit in comparing women to cattle? That's hyperlinked. You can check that out on your own. And have no interest whatsoever in the entire breadth of human experience that includes those not included in academia. Now, the women as cattle interpretation of Nietzsche's writings, to be fair, only lasted to about the 1960s, 1980s, but whiteness and academia are prevalent in the genre. Yeah, it is one, a philosophy, even today. Additionally, a correction from my last article. A friend pointed out to me that there was a flaw in my analogy of art and the vampire, being that art never dies. Vampires are in fact undead, meaning art is undead. So, whenever confronted by someone, a troll, proclaiming that art is dead, the correct response would be art is undead. And thus, the entire overarching argument from my previous column, making art in the age of memes, art is undead. And in fact, perhaps all postmodern art too, considering I'm not sure it's even over yet. Now on to your question, Heidegger. In Heidegger's The Original of the Work of Art, he writes that a work of art defines the cultural climate, so in answer to your question, yes, memes are based on their intent to deal with the current cultural climate. Artists make memes, so then the meme is art. Again, so no confusion. Memes do not make art, the artists make the meme art. Now say that 5 times fast. If it's not delivery, it's Adorno. Now see, internet art nerds love this guy. Adorno suggests the ultimate truth of a work of art is defined by the multiplicity of its meaning. Essentially, it's discordance from the subject. Oh, nope, Paul. Time and subject.
These German idealists, they're gonna kill me.
Did I tell you that I gave away my German idealist book? I gave it away at Mutual Aid, but it was actually one of the other DSA members who took it and came back and told me that they read it, that she read, like, the first few chapters, and I was like, you already read more of it than I did. I gave up on that book early on. That's the definition of a meme. Maybe memes are art, and have nothing to do with the artist or the intent, but are connected instead to the divine, God, not human, abstract creation. Or maybe I could be entirely not understanding Adorno and just pulling from what I read in Wikipedia to validate my argument, for sake of argument. Or maybe I'm talking about Platonism. No, I'm definitely talking about Platonism in relation to understanding the abstract in what makes a work of art through its intent and creation. Wait, was Adorno talking about Platonism? Look, I'm just Googling here. My head hurts. Oh, darno. We didn't get into Boris Groys. You gotta read that guy. I link you here to the specific instance Groys points to, that of looking at art today, where the meme is made art when made useful by the artist. Like exactly what you said. It gets more complicated once the curator approaches. So yeah, memes are art. And furthermore, I did not mean to imply that memes were not in my previous article. Just that I think they're made easily dated versus painting, which is, sorry not sorry, a timeless medium. And furthermore, that it is not to say that memes are art as art are not of value, but that art history is moving faster than ever these days, and isn't that cool? I might explain the meme of pairing images from today to the work of masters, see above. We are now in a timeline where we can easily grasp by means of having our purview within the click of a button that, yeah, time repeats itself, and so does art. I'm sad now. Best. Beth, please send me your thesis. Oh, footnote, if it's not delivery, it's DiGiorno is the slogan. Oh, she felt the need to explain the DiGiorno joke. Okay, cool. All right, what'd you think of that answer?
Until the end when you said their name was Beth, I really thought it was a dude the whole time.
Well, I also said that at the beginning.
They fell into a trap that a lot of advice columnists fall into, which is, I don't get what this obsession with proving your woke credentials are. I don't know. I get that this is a conservative talking point to be like, oh, people are just fitting in woke talking points. But like, I don't know, man. Like,
wait, you're saying that's not the author name dropping? It's the woke point talking?
The author name dropping was part of it, but the calling Nietzsche a misogynist, I was like, I'm sure that's true. I really don't see what it has to do with any point here. You know, on this podcast, I often go on rants about Israel-Palestine, and you know what I do? Cut them out, because I'm like, who the fuck gives a shit? It has nothing to do with anything. And it's like, I do that because I have the power of editing at my hands. These people also have the power of editing what they've written. What's the point of mocking Nietzsche for being a misogynist? I'm sure it's true. It got you no closer to any argument or point you were making. I don't get it.
I mean, yeah, we were in paragraph 4 before she said, now on to your question.
Yeah, fair enough.
Have you ever done have you ever espoused the philosophy as old white dudes with beards talking around each other?
I mean, that's definitely what it is, but I don't think it makes it less important, right? Like, Well, to be fair, it's not important because people are who they are and they believe what they believe, whether or not an authority bestows privilege upon that position, or
you don't base your life on the Nicomachean ethics.
But I guess it's important in the sense that, like, any history is important because you want to understand where people were influenced from. So what'd you think of that answer? Maybe I'm just going on about nothing.
Oh, I didn't like it. No, I thought it was bad. I guess she admits that she got it wrong.
I mean, like you said, she went from ranting about something that seemed unimportant to name dropping philosophers who she also was then saying, I don't care who they are and I haven't read them. It's like, then why name drop them? Why are you talking about them
if you don't care who they are? It's not delivery, it's Adorno.
Yeah.
And then do a footnote explaining the joke, which is how every great joke goes.
It's odd energy to quote someone and then say, I've only read their Wikipedia. Then why quote them? Just don't if you feel the need to tag it with that information.
I don't know. She gets paid by word. Yeah, I don't know if that got us any closer to understand it. Well, I guess she did give a definitive memes are art, so yeah.
I mean, I agreed with us.
With some caveats, yeah. All right, cool. You want to get into third
segment? Not a CJ the X video. That's all I'm
saying. Not a CJ the X lecture, yeah.
You know, maybe that would have actually been more convincing delivered as a video, because I do think CJ the X or other YouTube video essayists would have made similar jokes disparaging the people they were quoting, but it comes off charming in a video format where you're like, and that guy was an old white man. It's like, oh yeah, haha.
Yeah.
But somehow when you write it out, it comes off a little bit like, why are you mocking what you just said?
If Beth was sitting in a position that I would consider uncomfortable to sit in and drinking a big glass of white wine, I think this would all go down a little bit more smoothly.
Why do they all sit in their chairs incorrectly? Why is that a part of woke of YouTube?
That's part of it. Shout out Lindsay Ellis for sitting like a normal person during her video.
Oh, yeah. In a desk chair rolled up to her desk like a maniac.
Yeah.
Like an asshole.
Like some asshole.
She needs to be laid out as if she's a Roman emperor being fed grapes by slaves.
She did do a little bathtub thing as a nod to Contra.
All right, you're ready to get into the third segment?
Yeah, Paul, what's the idea?
All right, I was basically basing this off what you'd said about that TED Talk and what I'd seen about, oh man, what kid was it? It was like the Success Kid where he's like fist pumping baby. So we're going to do a Where Are They Now and just do a roundup of what we think about where they are now. I remember also seeing an AMA with Scumbag Steve where he came through with the point of like, oh yeah, I was dressed that way going to hang out with my friends in high school and my mom was taking a photography class at the time and she asked if she could take a photo of me and so I said yes. Seemed really wholesome and really sweet and the opposite of somebody who'd be called a scumbag, and I remember that really like sat with me. I was like, this guy seems delightful. It's so funny.
All right, Paul, so speaking of Success Kid, this one's starting off with him. Do you want me to read the write-up?
Yeah.
So we got a picture of him wearing the same green and white baseball tee. It's him at the beach. The meme originated in 2007 after Lainey Griner uploaded a photograph of her son, Sammy, trying to eat sand to Flickr. The meme gained initial popularity, captioned, "I hate sandcastles," suggesting that the boy had just destroyed another child's sandcastle. Lainey disliked the "I hate sandcastles" meme, as she felt it made her son, who in fact loves sandcastles, look like a bully, but she embraced the Success Kid concept. She said that her son gets embarrassed by the association with this meme. And now he just looks like a regular little kid.
That's incredible. I don't know where you have to be in life to be like, that's offensive to my son who's actually a sandcastle lover.
Yeah, I do love that. She was the one who did that.
No, he loved sandcastles so much he was trying to eat them, Adrian. The joke was that he loved eating sand.
Is it just me, or did you not really get that association from the image that it was him trying to eat sand?
No, I thought it was just a kid who happened to have sand in his hand. I don't think that was the association.
Oh, do we have a rating on that? I mean, it seems like he's doing fine. I mean, he was very young. It's hard to be embarrassed by something that you got famous for when you were a literal baby.
Yeah, good for him. He looks like he's 12 now, which I guess would... That still seems like almost like the update is a little... Like, he should almost be older. If he was a baby in 2007...
He should be Bernie Sanders now.
He should be like 17 now, but that photo looks like he's still pretty young.
Well, when's this article from? 2025. Yeah, updated April 30th, 2025.
Yeah, maybe they're just coalescing updates. They found other places because he should be a little older.
He should be 18 years older, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I like this recreation of the photo.
Okay, number two, we have Disaster Girl. This is the little girl that's like looking back at the camera while the house burns in the background.
Iconic.
The photograph of the girl in the burning house was taken by Dave Roth in 2004 during the local fire department's live drill training 2 blocks away from his home in Mebane, North Carolina. While observing the fire, Dave caught his daughter, Zoe, smiling devilishly juxtaposed against the burning house. I'd love for the meme to help me get into or pay for college, somehow Zoe said, but I ultimately want people to know me for me. Oh, okay. She was a little worried about how people would judge her fame from the meme.
Every time she enters a relationship, it's a big secret. She's like, I wanted you to like me for me, not from the meme when I was a kid.
I know you only dated me because I was the girl who was looking back during the fire.
And who looked like they did it.
The update photo is of her in front of a bonfire on the beach, it looks like.
And there's not, I think... Unlike the last kid, this is far along enough that there's really no resemblance besides the fact that it's two white people.
With a big forehead.
Oh, okay. I didn't feel the need to bring that up, but sure. Yeah, I guess that's one of the signifiers.
I mean, it sort of proves it's her.
Your disaster kid? Prove it. She pushes her hair up. Oh, okay. I got all of that right there. Oh, now this one, there's a resemblance that is strong in this one. Well, similar to what Paul said about the last person. I would never say it. This is the side-eyeing Chloe. Her name is Chloe. On September 12th, 2013, YouTuber CaftC uploaded a video titled Lily's Disneyland Surprise Again, which shows two sisters, Lily and Chloe, reacting to the news of a surprise trip to Disneyland on their way to school. As the older sister, Lily, breaks into tears of joy, Chloe is briefly seen on the camera with a disturbed look on her face that will forever be known as... Side-eyeing Chloe. My sister still sends this meme to me sometimes.
Oh, interesting. I've seen the meme. I would have never known that the meme was called side-eyeing Chloe. That's funny that they're like...
That's the definition of a side-eye.
Yeah, but her name, they're making it sound like it's part of it. It's like,
oh,
this is the
yeah,
first time
I've
ever
name.
Heard of that. 2013 is pretty recent. I would have guessed that this was the same era as like the Success Kid, if you'd asked me.
Yeah, no, she basically looks the same. She's not that much older.
Well, in that photo, she's definitely older now. She looks like she would have been 3 then, so she should be about like 15 now. In that photo, she looks like she's 6. So this is definitely an update that's not that recent.
I didn't know this was from a TV show.
We can skip this one unless you know it. I don't know this image.
Oh, you don't know this one? Oh, I see this one all the time.
Well, it's Good Luck Charlie, which is Mia Tellerico. It's a scene from the Disney Channel show Good Luck Charlie. It's a little blonde girl with pigtails kind of like pulling her arm back as if she's almost like an Italian
mobster.
She's
like,
me? Hey. You're talking to what? Did I catch
Joshua it? Weissman wants to do what?
He wants to do what to my what? She's often a synonym for I don't know. Oh, that's interesting. That's not how I would have read that. I would have read that.
Oh, that's how I read it. Yeah.
You talking to me?
Oh, is this where we're going to find out like the autism quiz from Nathan Fielder's show that Paul doesn't know how to read expressions?
I don't think I ever told the audience this was
because
I did so bad on the ones they showed on TV. I Googled the quiz to do it. And I actually did fine on the quiz. Turns out I don't have autism.
Nice. Definitive proof. All right, next one is a little doggy, the Doge, the little Shiba, what do they call it?
Inu.
On February 23rd, 2010, Japanese kindergarten teacher Atsuko Sato posted several photos of her rescue-adopted Shiba Inu dog Kobosu to her personal blog. The photos included a peculiar shot of Kobosu sitting on a couch while glaring sideways at the camera with a raised eyebrow, which is now known as the first picture of Doge. And the dog looks the same now if maybe have lost a little bit of weight.
Oh, to me, it is very telling about how the original photo was like,
very like filtered.
The color.
Yeah, it's like very washed.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if that was on purpose, but it's definitely like very.
Yeah, she was like, this would make better as a Bitcoin if he looks more yellow.
Yeah, the actual dog just looks a lot like a normal, really cute Shiba Inu, but the original photo almost looked like unreal because of the filtering done to the colors.
A little bit, and like he has that kind of chin that like melts into his face a little bit, so it kind of becomes one blob.
Yeah, that's because dogs never sit up like that. That is very funny they got the dog to do that.
Yeah, I don't know if this meme is going to be in there, but have you ever seen the meme of the cat sitting on a dresser like upright, and people are like, dude, I would assume my cat would possess and start talking to me if I saw this in the middle of the night. It's a legitimately creepy photo.
Yeah, upright animals can be creepy. I get that. Next up, we have overly attached girlfriend, Liana Morris. In 2012, YouTuber Lena Morris uploaded a webcam video in which she performs a parody version of Justin Bieber's Boyfriend with personalized lyrics.
Now,
the video
funny.
Was submitted in response to Bieber's announcement of an online sing-off contest in promoting his celebrity perfume Girlfriend. But it wasn't an easy trip from meme origin to YouTube success. Morris spoke about privacy issues following the meme's success. Strangers were finding my personal Facebook page and talking to my friends. They were finding where I worked and trying to access my college records, Morris recalls.
To what end? What are these people? What is going on?
Maybe you're trying to date overly attached girlfriend because you're like, you know, all my girlfriends? Too distant.
Underly attached.
Like I said, too distant, or like you said, underly attached, yeah.
Yeah. One's a more direct comparison, but...
So either issue they were dealing with, maybe they wanted to get to know her.
This also looks like it wasn't that far in the future. She kind of looks the same.
Yeah, but she was already an adult in the first
photo. This is another photo where like the original photo has some shading and lighting that makes it particularly, you know, a little bit off.
And she was already an adult, and it seems like in the second one she was trying to look good, whereas in the first one she's trying to look, I don't know.
Well, I think she looks great in both, and I think she has a normal forehead in both, because I wouldn't say that about people.
Hero.
As you've always said.
On March 2nd, 2014, Redditor Aduk Allah submitted a photograph titled Trying to Hold a Fart Next to a Cute Girl in Class to the r/funny subreddit. When asked whether he felt any regret about his internet fame, McGee responded, "My take on being internet famous is cool and all, but I regret not copywriting the picture right away because I could have made a lot of money there." That's actually kind of a sick response, being like, oh yeah, I should have been rich off of this.
That's true. Also, he looks different enough now that I don't think anyone's going to clock him as the guy. Like, the overly attached girlfriend definitely looks pretty similar.
Yeah, this guy also, I don't think anybody thinks of that photo as somebody trying to fart. I thought, like, the context when you send that photo is somebody, like, really stressed about something.
I think trying to hold something in is usually what I get.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not wrong. But I never really thought about it exactly as farting next to a girl.
Honestly, they didn't show anything about what's going on with Beehole.
I was
going
to say, before this, I never clocked that there was a girl in the photo. I feel like people crop her out sometimes.
Yeah,
I think
you're right. I don't actually remember seeing the girl at all.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one I'm pretty sure is wrong, because I'm pretty sure this one's dead, but Grumpy Cat. Grumpy Cat is the nickname given to Tartar Sauce, a snowshoe cat that rose to online fame after several pictures of her annoyed facial expression were posted to Reddit in late September 2012. There's no way this is an after photo. She looks way younger in this one. But also, yeah. I'm pretty sure Grumpy Cat's dead. I think I heard about that like a year or two ago.
I feel like this article's been playing pretty fast and loose with the concept of where are they now.
Yeah, but I don't know. Any thoughts on Grumpy Cat? Did that do a lot for you?
It's a funny looking cat. I don't hate it.
It is funny to have a cat whose natural expression does look like that.
Next up, we got Bad Luck Brian, or Kyle Craven. The guy in the picture is not actually Brian. His name is Kyle Craven. The picture was first posted on January 23rd, 2012, by a longtime friend of Kyle with the caption, "Taking driving test? Gets first DUI." Oh, so from the first time it was posted.
They formulated it. Yeah. He crafted it all perfect for that.
And the thing about him now is that, much like overly attached girlfriend, it looks very similar.
It seems like they don't have that much about what he has to say about it, but I feel like I've heard that he's okay with it.
Hmm. Well, he looks like such a generic guy. Like, it seems like that was one unflattering outfit more than anything.
Yeah, bad outfit with the braces, the goofy smile.
He couldn't be described as anything other than unremarkable at worst.
Hmm. All right, the next one is the Ermagerd. Maggie Goldenberger. Oh, perfect name for an Ermagerd. Ermagerd is a roticized pronunciation of "Oh My God." The meme first emerged on March 14th, 2012 as a post titled "Just a Book Owner's Smile." The posts are always titled with such lame captions. The girl in the meme, Maggie Goldenberger, said the picture was created in 4th or 5th grade when she and her friends seriously got into playing dress up. Maggie Goldenberger.
Oh, okay. So she was trying to dress up kind of odd?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's awesome. That rocks.
And she looks hella regular in her new photo, yeah.
She did a sweet-ass joke and it just took off.
And she copyrighted it, so she got buku bucks.
Oh, next up we got my favorite, Scumbag Steve, or Blake Boston. What an awesome name to go with the meme. Goddamn. The first known time this image was posted on Reddit was January 21st, 2011. Oh, you know, I made jokes about 10th grade, but that would have put us in 11th grade when this was first posted. A commenter on the Reddit thread identified the young man in the photo as Blake Boston, also known as Wheezy B.
Oh, hey, okay, Wheezy B, and the B is for, yeah.
And the B is for what, Adrian? Butthole?
And the B is for butthole.
In an interview with Know Your Meme, Blake revealed that the picture was originally taken by his mother. "I have no regrets in my life, no matter what I do. I can completely fuck up on something and I still don't regret it, because at the end of the day, that makes me who I am. So I wouldn't go back and erase anything if I were to go back in time."
Damn, he's wise as hell. But also, he wouldn't go kill baby Hitler.
Okay, well, actually, they didn't post the whole quote. He said right after that, wait, unless there was the option to kill baby Hitler, in which case I would go back.
That was a prompt that I heard on a podcast that made me laugh. Paul, if you had your first child and someone broke into your house and said, "I'm from the future, I need to kill your child," what would you do?
I would ask, are they a version of baby Hitler, but like Hitler from your time?
Yeah, they say yeah.
Oh, they say yeah?
They say, "You guys seem really nice, you guys seem like really cool, but you guys raise the next Hitler, I gotta kill your baby."
Hitler too?
Hitler, Mecha Hitler.
Does he just name himself Hitler, or does he do Hitler shit?
He does Hitler shit, he doesn't need the name.
Ooh, that's tough.
He goes by Bulus Jr.
Does this person have any identification to show me, like, do they have like a police badge, but like a future police badge?
Yeah.
Okay, I kill him, steal his future police badge, use his time machine to go to the future.
And kill your son when he's already Mecha Hitler?
Become my son's number 2 in command.
Oh.
Change his mind. Be like, Papa's back. He loves you. I know he abandoned you as a child, and that's what turned you into Hitler, too. Because he disappeared when you were a baby.
Knowing that someone came in from the past to kill your child because they got mega Hitler, you still decide, I'm going to abandon my child and my family.
I know. That he abandoned you in the past is what turned you into Hitler, too. But now I'm back, and you can stop this Hitler, too shit. And he goes, I love you, Papa. I'm going to stop being Hitler, too.
So you go back in the middle of it, though. You'd make sure to come back to go into the middle of when he's already done some shit.
Adrian, I don't control... Like, clearly the guy came back because he'd become Hitler, too. I wasn't changing that.
Mm.
This is that sort of time travel rule set. You can't change what's happening. You can only continue it.
That's profound. Are we ready for the next one?
Yeah, what's up? I'm not drunk. You're drunk.
Blinkin' white guy, Drew Scanlon. The GIF comes from, if you don't know, it's the white guy who blinks. It's usually like a reaction to like something that you think see that's like disturbing or weird. The GIF comes from a live stream shot in 2013 when Drew Scanlon was a video producer at the popular gaming website Giant Bomb. During one of the team's weekly Unprofessional Friday shows, Scanlon watched an editor-in-chief, Jeff Gertzman, play Starbound, a two-dimensional action-adventure game. I've been doing some farming, Gertzman narrated, with my hoe. Scanlon reacted with the expression now known as blinking white guy. Another one where now he kind of looks like, I guess I'd believe you if he told me that you were that meme, but I wouldn't clock him in any kind of capacity of like, oh, that's that guy.
Yeah. Actually, I wouldn't
believe
him.
He looks like Tim Baltz more than anything.
Yeah, he looks like a clean cut in the meme, but in real life, he's a long-haired kind of guy.
He looks like a hippie. He looks like a damn hippie.
He looks like a damn hippie. Thank you for saying what I was trying to say. He worked for Giant Bomb. That's cool. I used to love Giant Bomb.
Damn. I didn't know any of these websites. All right. Big fact, no cap?
Yeah. Big fact. Scumbag Steve. Kind of wish I knew that guy. That guy seems cool. I want to hang out with that guy.
And my no cap is, I think we finally solved the mystery. I can has cheeseburger. I'm going to go get some dinner. With some epic bacon on there?
When does the narwhal bacon?
Midnight.
All right, we got real Redditors in the house.